Good day, good people. It is yours truly, me, Rashawn Ali, and welcome to another edition of the Cool Sore Podcast and the Cool People episode. Yes, we are back with another episode of Cool People, and today we are joined by a very, very good friend of mine. I also consider her a mentor of mine, and I've been wanting her on the show for so long. And her name is Carrie Champion. If you are a sports fan, you know her. She is that pretty, pretty brown girl on Coast to Coast on ESPN. And she is one of my friends. I'm so glad that we get to share some good old black girl magic with you today on this podcast. She talks about everything from lifting our sisters up to not taking no for an answer and pushing through the doors, because all you need is one yes. Here is the Cool People episode of the week with my friend Carrie Champion. Please enjoy. Cool people do cool things.
But once you realize, look, I can't get what I need from that situation, I have to like do some personal self-development. Then you go to the next level.
I encourage people to get out of your comfort zone. What was your normal before? You got to outsmart yourself. You got to introduce yourself to a new way of living.
Cool people say cool things.
You need to make sure that people know who you are and what you stand for.
And so I learned I have got to have unshakable belief in myself to be able to go out there and demand what it is that I know I deserve.
I'm Rashawn Ali, and this is Cool People. Just be cool. Thank you so much. Welcome to the Cool Sore Podcast, and we are so happy to have Cool People as a part of our show now. And I've been trying to get this cool lady on my show for a long time, even before we launched Cool People. Carrie Champion joins the Cool Sore Podcast as our Cool People feature. Hello and welcome to the show.
I am so happy to be here. I am sorry it took me so long to get my life together and my technical side together, because you knew this was an issue. But I am so happy, seriously, and very, very proud of you. Can I just tell you how proud I am of you? Like, well, how amazing you are? Can I just gush on you?
Sure.
I stalked your true story, because I knew I was coming on the podcast. I stalked your Insta today, and then I went to Sister Circle Insta, and yes. I just clicked on every single one of yours, and I thought, if I didn't know her, I would want to be her friend. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You are such a natural, and you make everybody just want to stop and pay attention. Wow. And I love the Decatur, like, represent. And I was like, I love everything about her right now. Everything.
Thank you so much, Carrie. And you know, because we have been friends for so long, and you've been like a mentor to me in this space, and you've been with me when I've actually cried with you on the phone. So for you to see the joy in what I'm doing now, and have seen the joy that was not there when I was doing other things, I'm so glad that you notice it and are just and celebrating it right now. So thank you.
The biggest transition that I've seen, and I think this is something that everybody can grow from, you're just more comfortable in your own skin. Yes. Like, if you know you believe in yourself and you have a group of people around you that believe in you, and then obviously the belief in yourself, you're so comfortable in your own skin. Like, you're bringing you. You're not trying to be anybody else. You're not trying to imitate anybody else's style.
Yep.
And I say that to everyone. Like, I get so many young ladies who want to do what I do, and I'm like, that's great, but be you.
Yes.
You can be inspired by what we do, but be you, because there's only one you. And right now, authenticity, let me get it out, sells.
It really does. And I've seen you embrace that same side. I mean, you've always been you, but like really you now, like how comfortable you are on Coast to Coast and like doing all that you do. Like, how long did it take for you to get where you are being comfortable in your own skin?
Oh, it took a long time. Mm-hmm. It took a long time. It doesn't come overnight. I'm telling you. Obviously, the older you get, you feel more comfortable in your own skin. But I work in a world where they will let you know that you're a woman. And if you're a black woman, you don't matter. Right. Without even trying to tell you you don't matter, they let you know you don't matter.
Wow.
I remember my first day at SportsCenter, I would have all these great ideas, or at least I thought they were. And they would just look at me like I was speaking another language and I was from another planet. And I was so disappointed and I was dejected. And I just kept pushing and pushing because I just believed in my heart that I wasn't satisfied. I was like, this is not me. I'm not satisfied. I'm not happy.
Right.
It's like being in a relationship. Like, why be in a relationship and you're not happy?
Right.
Why pretend to be happy when you're not happy? Life's too short. And then it finally got to the point where I'd have a few wins, and everybody in this world is such followers, right?
Yeah.
So I had a few wins, and then everybody had my back.
Mm-hmm.
So I always believed in me. Like, I always, like, you've always believed in you. Nobody can tell you you wouldn't be doing this and doing more. Like,
right.
You don't have to share your dreams with everybody, but nobody cannot tell you that you would not be where you are today, being as comfortable as you are in your own skin, doing it the way you're supposed to do it.
Right. Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. We came on dropping knowledge. I didn't know we were going to drop the knowledge so soon. It's beautiful. So, you know, when you started off in First Take back in 2009 when you started? No, 2012 at First Take.
Yep.
Do you know I was in that audition cycle too?
Yes, they told me. They said,
yes.
Mike Hill told me, he was like, she was in the same cycle as you. I was like, I love her. She's amazing. And they were like, yeah, she was great. We walked her over. She met with the kid. You're like, I think you went to see the daycare.
They
like,
did.
They loved you.
Right,
they loved
right.
You. It was just how the ball bounced. I don't think, of course.
But
right, just whatever it was. Yeah.
But let me tell you, when I saw your face come up, and I'm like, if anybody would have gotten that job, I wanted it to be her. And I was
so happy.
You brought so much magic to the airwaves. You still do. I mean, and you just did that.
Let's talk about the black girl magic. Ever
yes.
since I've known you, you've been nothing but supportive of black women. And I think everybody needs to take a lesson.
Wow.
Your next venture for me is encouragement. Like, I need you to do whatever you, however you give that away, effortlessly, right. Honestly, you always are encouraging. Like, you send me texts, girl, you looking good. Oh my God, I saw you and Maria Taylor, you guys. Like, you just encourage all of us. You know how that makes me feel?
Wow.
That you embrace me and you don't feel, it only can be one.
Mm-hmm.
She got the job and I didn't get the job, so I'm not her friend.
Right.
You encourage all of us. Like, Swin does that. Like, Swin Cash does that. Like, I get so happy and full when women do that.
Wow.
I do. And wow. You do that all the time with everybody. When you wanted to hear from Jamel,
mm-hmm.
Shout out to Jamel Hill.
Hey, Jamel.
You're like, give her, hey, girl. And you were like, hey, give her some love. I was like, I love you. I love your heart. Like,
yeah.
We need that.
Absolutely.
Need that.
Sisters, we have to do that. Not even just sisters, but women in general. And we talked about this. Yeah, we talked about this on the show today about how women are pitted against each other in not even just in our business, but just across this country. How are you able to continue to sustain those amazing relationships like the one you have with Jamel? And I'm glad you all put your relationship on Front Street, but how important is it for you all to showcase that type of camaraderie and love for one another?
Okay, so here's a funny story. You said you were happy when I got the job.
Yeah.
Well, Jamel was also up for the job, right?
She sure was.
So when Jamel didn't get the job, there was a lot of social media hate. Like, who is this girl? We don't know her. Because Jamel had love in the streets, right?
Yes,
so
yes.
Here I come taking the job. And they're like, who is this girl? I hate her. And Jamel reached out to me. And albeit she tells the story better than me, so you got to have her on the podcast.
Oh, I will.
It took me 18,000 hours to get back to her. But she was like, we're going to be friends no matter what, even if people try to stop this relationship. And she had my back from jump. I went through some tough times when I sat on that desk because it wasn't easy.
I'm sure it wasn't.
And she had my back when I wanted to quit, when I wanted to go home, when I wanted to cry. She just had my back thoroughly.
Yes.
She used the gravity she had at the company to protect me because I was a newbie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I have a best friend named Kendra. We have a saying, no new friends.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I am so glad. That was the best decision I've ever made to really get somebody in my world, because it taught me that there are great women that really are amazing. You being one of them. And me and Jamel have been tight ever since. Like,
yes.
I cannot not have her back on anything. Like, you
right.
can't say a bad word about her because I'm going to take off my heel and stab you.
Right, right. So I know. How is she doing? I know you can't delve into everything, but how is she doing?
I can tell you the basics. I think that she wasn't, when she was tweeting, and she'll tell you this herself, she wasn't tweeting breaking news. That she's tweeted that before. That's
right.
Nothing. You turn on CNN, they say the same things about Donald Trump. She wasn't being, you know, a radical. It just so happens that somebody was trying to get her in trouble with the company and said, oh, she tweeted this. And guess what? God is good. Because when she, all that she went through that horrible week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward, Trump revealed who he was, as she tried to tell y'all.
Yep.
And then she's sitting here like, look, God is good, but I'm going to sit here and mind my business and be classy and strong through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, she literally did not change her belief. She was like, this is my personal belief. I'm going to apologize for embarrassing y'all if that's what you felt, but I believe this.
Yes.
And Rashawn, here's the key. You're going to have to deal with this. We have to deal with this. Anybody with a platform has to deal with this. When do I turn off the public me and be the real me?
Gosh, right.
That's like, the most difficult thing ever to do. When do I decide that I can be Carrie, not SportsCenter anchor, but Carrie, the black girl who feels some type of way about this man treating me this way?
Yes.
Or about the way our country is headed, or how you're talking about our black men, and you guys make us think it's about a flag, and it's not about a flag. It's about you killing, you about killing us unfairly and treating our people wrong. That's what it's about.
Right.
And then it's like, as a journalist, anybody with a platform, we have to get that message out. We can't get caught up in this. We can't be distracted.
Yes.
We're too distracted in Agent Orange talking about the flag. We can't be distracted.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That is so powerful. When I do want to go back to when you were like, you know, becoming frustrated, you wanted to grow a little bit more when you were at the desk at First Take and pushing for an opportunity. How were you able to, you know, continue to push the button and say, I'm bigger than this. I want to be an anchor. Like, how did that all happen? And how are you able to get what you wanted?
Gosh, that's the grace of God, really. And I don't mean to get too, you know,
no, you can
scripture,
no,
but that is, that's the grace of God. I always believe that. I had a lot of prayer. I had a lot of really good friends encouraging me. And I would just do it the old way. I don't know if you understand this, and maybe you do. I think you do. Even though I had an agent, even though I was sitting at ESPN, even though I had these incredible people around me who loved me, I'm still my biggest advocate.
Yes.
And if I didn't knock on the doors and ask people for a chance, literally, and when I tell you, I was hosting First Take, one of the most popular shows at the time, but I knocked on the door of folks who ran our news bureaus and said, I'll go out and report. I'll do whatever you need me to do. Just give me a chance.
Yes.
And they would be like, okay, I'll get back to you. And they never get back to me. So I knocked on the door again, and I never stopped knocking. No means not right now for me. And I kept asking, and I just needed one yes. And that yes came with an interview that I had with Cam, the very first one he ever did, Cam Newton. I did that E60. And then after that, they were like, do you want to come in studio and present it? And I came in studio, and they were like, okay, she's not bad. And I'm all like, I know that. I've been trying to tell y'all.
Yes.
So you just need one yes. I mean, it takes a long time. It is discouraging. I have called everybody every name that is not holy. Mm-hmm. But then I finally got to the point where I just kept knocking and knocking. I mean, I was discouraged, but I still kept doing it. You got to just keep getting back up. You know that.
Like, absolutely.
How many times are we told no? Like, nothing is ever handed to us, which is why we work so hard, which is why we're so good at what we do, because we got to be stars.
Yes.
And by we, I mean, us women, us black folks, us minorities, we got to be superstars to get an opportunity.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And it's so encouraging. Just imagine how encouraging it is for a young girl. I got a mentor at FAMU. Her name is Ashley Jackson. She wants to do sports, but she gets to see you. She gets to see Maria Taylor. She gets to see Jemele Hill. She gets to see Elle Duncan. She gets to see all of these people of color doing what she wants to do. But let's talk about how long it took to see this plethora of brown on that platform. But where are we going from here? Like, what would you say we're going from here? How are we changing this narrative?
I think that the more that we get comfortable in these positions, because while there is a lot of us in this position, we need to be more comfortable in management. I think a lot of us, I know Jemele and I talk about it all the time. We think about getting behind the scenes because that's where the power is, right?
Mm-hmm,
those are the people who make the decisions. So like you creating your own podcast, me having my own podcast.
Right.
Once we have the power to create something that's our own, then there's true freedom.
Ooh.
Like if we didn't worry about, oh, you know what? If I go on air and say this, I might get in trouble. I'll deal with the heat, but I might get in trouble. Or you have your own podcast. You could be, I'm doing what I want to do. I'm saying what I want to do. It's mine. I created my own.
Yes.
So I'm trying to encourage people not just to be in front of the camera, but be behind the scenes.
Yes.
Try to produce your own content. You could be the star of your own content.
Yep.
Oprah was ahead of the game.
She
Oprah
sure was.
Which is why she was doing what she wanted to do when she wanted to do it, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
So that's what we need to do. That's what's next in order to see more of us on television.
Right.
We need to start pooling our resources in terms of minorities and women, people of color, and really working together to have the power structure.
Yes.
It's good to see us in front of the camera, but I want the power. I want to be like, no, yes, maybe so. Here's what I'm going to say.
Making those critical decisions behind the scenes.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So a lot, you know, when I prepare for interviews, no matter how well I know someone, I'll just, you know, look them up. And I, you know, I see a lot of people always trying to over-sexualize you, like making you just, I mean, you're a very sexy woman, but they just take it to the top. Does that ever bother you when these YouTubers and all these folks are just always like coming after you in that way?
Yeah, no, it's annoying. But what's so funny is that I think that those are the people who don't really pay attention because you're not watching the sport, right?
Right.
Women in general, no matter what you look like, I'm going to tell you, I can name a ton of women I work with that have the same issue. You know, you too. Like men, they're not used to, you work in a men's world, if you will, or a man's world. Mm-hmm. They will always go to the simple of what you look like. And if you're hot and if you're sexy, they go there to the basic before they pay attention.
Right.
That's how I know that they're not. It doesn't bother me in the sense that I know I work really hard and I don't think that I'm just out there for what I look like. Look, I like to look nice. You like to look nice.
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with that. And so I know that when they do that, they don't pay attention. They're not listening to the content. They don't know that I'm a real journalist.
Yeah.
And that's on them. They missed out because we're talking about some good stuff. We have some fun.
Yes, you do.
And it's okay to be attractive, but I'm not. Like, if you know me, I ain't playing that game.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, so I'm like, all right, whatever.
Right.
Get your rocks off. It's fine. But I ain't playing that game. I'm here to work. And here's the funny thing, too. We always hear people say the only reason why you have that job is because of what you look like or you set your way to the top. Listen, don't you know if I was on some bullshit, I would literally have a better job. I would not be doing this.
Right.
I'd be really taking advantage of it if I was that. This is all hard work, sweat equity. Like you don't sustain whatever level of success you have by sleeping around, especially not in sports, because you need to know your stuff. You cannot get on here and not know what you're talking about because you will be exposed.
Right. Absolutely. Now you've worked, you know, places like in West Virginia, West Palm Beach. Of course, you made an amazing stop here in Atlanta with that out, you know, and where I was able to get to know you better. Out of all of these jobs outside of ESPN, which job, including the tennis channel, which job grew you the most?
Atlanta, for sure.
Really?
I mean, Atlanta. Let me tell you, because if you Google your research, and
I know what happened. Right.
So I got fired in Atlanta for cursing on air, even though I didn't curse on air.
Right.
And mother sucker is something that black folks say all the time, but I work with some people who didn't know us. And quite frankly, I probably got on their nerves because I'm so aggressive and I always wanted change. So they were like, here's an opportunity to get rid of her.
Right.
But once they fired me for that, and then I fought back, got my job back. No one ever reports that. Got my job back and worked for about 6 more months there. But what I learned was that sometimes I'm just too much. Sometimes I need to learn when to pick my battles. Sometimes I don't care how right I am. It doesn't mean it's the right situation.
Right.
So when I left Atlanta, I came back to LA and I was really humbled. Like I was working odd jobs here and there and they were nice, but I was still hustling. But I was still searching for my identity because for so long, the only job I ever had was Carrie Champion reporter, Carrie Champion on air.
Right.
Now I didn't have a job that I could identify myself with. And I had to do some real soul searching as to who I was. And I had to learn that I'm not what I do. I am me.
Right.
And that's how God humbles you. Like he humbled the hell out of me. And I appreciate it. Every moment of that, not during the process, but when it happened.
Yes.
And our lives are like ebbs and flows. Like we ebb, we flow. We have great times, we have horrible times.
Yes.
People look at this platform I have now and think I'm tinkling Skittles. It's hard. Every other day is hard. I cannot tell you, I'm not comfortable and I'm not supposed to be because that's how you become great.
Right.
And that's how I am right now. Like Atlanta changed my life and I needed it. I didn't see it, but I needed it.
Yes, definitely. What is the big picture for you, Carrie? I mean, people will look at you and say, wow, she's there. That's it. She's got the job. Or maybe this is it for you. But what is your end all be all? Where do you see Carrie?
Oh, it's so funny. Okay. So I want to do it. Even if I'm so ambitious and I pray every night that I learn to be content with what I have and not be too over ambitious, because there is such a thing of being never satisfied and not realizing your blessings.
Right.
So I say that, I say that knowing that I still want that next level. And for me, that next level would be just like what I'm sure a lot of us want, is our own space.
Yes.
I just started my own production company.
Oh, nice.
I want my own show, and I want to produce my own show. And I want to create television that's thoughtful but entertaining. And I'm not, yes. Oprah was obviously the litmus test for all of us. But for me, it is, especially right now, I feel like I want to go back to news because of the world that we live in, mm-hmm. because it's so divided. And no one's asking the real questions. And when I watch CNN and I watch MSNBC and they want to talk about, especially when sports and politics intersect, yes. they're missing the story. Nobody touches the hood like we do, right?
Right.
We're so real. We still keep, like, we know what it is.
Right.
So when they're talking about kneeling, we're like, wait, hold on. You're missing the story.
Totally missing the story.
And when you ask, and no one even talks about the genesis of why Colin decided to kneel. He decided to kneel because Nate Boyer, a former NFL player and a white soldier in the Army, told him mm-hmm. that's not as disrespectful
yes.
as sitting down.
David Banner said that on our show today. Yes.
I was just so upset. I'm like, y'all missing the story. And then take it back to 2015. When players, there was a time when players did not have to stand for the anthem. The only reason why they decided to do it was because the government gave them money.
Yes.
Sports and politics have always been together. So when you have these, and I'm watching these journalists try to delve into our world but forget to ask the most important questions, I'm like, this is what I got to do. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to do.
Yes.
Like I'm on my Harriet Tubman, Ida B. Wells, whatever you want to call it. Like that's ultimately where I stand right now. And that might transition and change, but I really, truly dedicate my platform to other women, brown girls especially. I have something called the Brown Girl Project. Every girl who calls me and says they want to mentor with me or work with me, I set them up with girls who I think, or women rather, who I think can help them and mentor them along the way.
Okay.
So that they know that don't take it for granted. Like, I'm very big on making sure you understand the privilege that you're given.
Yes.
Because when I was coming up, I don't know about you, I never had anybody in college have my back.
No.
I'd be like, come and sit with me.
No, not like
Hang
that.
Hang out with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? They talk to you. But they're not giving you their undivided time and attention because time is invaluable.
Yes.
And so I do that because I know we need it, and they need to see how this business works.
Yes.
Because you don't get it ain't easy, and that's all I gotta say.
It really isn't easy, and I want you to add me to one of your list of mentors, please.
Oh, honey. Yes.
Yeah.
Done.
Yes.
Oh my God, that's so wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Of course I will. I mean, I do it now. I do it now to any girl who comes up to me and says, I want to do it. Yes. I will definitely take the time out to share with them. Oh, such beautiful. Such a beautiful time.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're so welcome. Really quickly, I just want to tell everybody, when I had a really, really big snafu on CBS Sports Network, I literally called Carrie. I think I may have been in tears. And you were like, get off the phone with me. Go look at it and tell me how bad it was not. And I'm like, man, it was bad. And so I looked at it, and it wasn't as bad. But I literally got taken off that package and all of that because, you know, I told you the whole scenario. But I just want to thank you in front of all of our listeners. Thank you for helping me through that time in my life, because I realized then, after I made that snafu, I just was not, I was so uncomfortable. It wasn't an uncomfortable from God. It was an uncomfortable, like, you've done your time here. Let's go ahead and move on. But you helped me walk through that and realize that. And then I had a conversation with Jamel. I called her because she did sideline for 1 year. She was like, girl, I hated it. Don't do it if you don't want to do it. And here she is, this amazing sports writer and just an amazing personality. And she hated it. And it was okay to hate it. And I was so afraid to not hate it. But I just want to thank you so much for taking the time out and helping me through that time in my life.
Let me tell you something. I remember like it was yesterday, because we make those mistakes on air all the time.
Jamel
and I talk about it all the time. Like, girl, I just said the worst thing. I messed up. I had the wrong research fact, whatever.
Right,
it happens.
Right.
Every day.
Right.
It's called, you need to be like these quarterbacks who make bad plays, or these players out in the, who play, make bad. It's called amnesia. You
mm-hmm.
need to forget about it and move on. And you have, and look at you now.
Thank you.
And by the way, you're right. That wasn't what you wanted to do, or where your heart was. It's what you had to do.
Right.
It all fills into the experience that you have now, because I watch you now and you are a natural.
Thank you.
You are I want you to receive what I am telling you at this moment. Not very many of us are naturals. And I'm including myself in that. And it might sound cocky, but this is a truth. Mm-hmm. You are naturally yourself on television. I recognize it, and I am in awe of it. And when someone wants to sit and just watch more of you, that's just who you are.
Wow.
Like, you're where you're supposed to be. Receive that, because this is the truth.
Amen. And I've finally come to the space in my life where I believe that. And I'm okay with saying, you're absolutely right. I've worked hard. God has met me where I am. He's led the pathway, but I've done the work. And I'm so happy to receive that now. Years ago, I would have never received that because I'm like, oh, I'm too humble for that. No, I've worked. I'm good. Mm, you're right.
No, yeah. No, you've been fired. You've been let go. People yes. have said no. Yeah, no, yep. no.
Yes.
Fine. You've been let go, but whatever. You started over, removed from stuff. We've done all that. You're fine.
Absolutely.
You're, and you're still humble, by the way.
Thank you.
Whenever I hear that Decatur come out, I'm like, she remember.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna, by the way, when I have to show, because it's funny, you know, I love videos. I might have to repost that because when you did that with David Banner this morning, I started dying. I'm like, she is crazy. I was like, what is she saying? Okay, I'm listening. Go ahead.
Right. It's so funny because we started those morning minutes like just randomly. Shout out to my producer, Cherie Welton. We started randomly, and then people were like, what is she going to say today? What is she going to do today? I'm like, okay.
Perfect.
Now I got to start like really thinking this thing out and not, it's still very organic because I never know what I'm going to say, but I kind of know the song and I'm enjoying it. And the thing about it is people love it. They love authenticity. Like you said, and they love real people.
Well, you're bringing both your worlds together, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know stuff. Like, it just makes sense. When I tell you I was all in, I was like, I'm here for this. You can do a whole you could do a whole show just on that. Like, you just have people pop up and do exactly what you're doing, but like a very, literally, I'm giving you a show idea. I was like, I could just watch you all day, have people pop in and out, and you just sing with them and
funny.
Talk about where it came from. I don't need too much.
I
don't
love
need
it.
Too much.
Like,
you don't
like
need too
two
much.
Minute vignettes, like 2 minute
yeah.
little pieces. Yeah.
I don't need too much because I feel like you people in this ADD world don't need too much. Like,
yes.
I don't like to do long podcasts or
mm-hmm.
like I used to do my podcast to be an hour and 15. The lesson I learned is that after, you know, people want to watch it while or listen to it while they're working out.
Yep.
You know, so 45 minutes max or something
right.
like that. That's what I've learned. People
okay.
lock in on that, you know,
yeah,
or
yeah.
if you're doing a quick run or if you're in the car, you're driving from point A to B, like
yep.
you want somebody to listen. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like that
yep.
kind of thing.
Like I love it.
We're in a world where we're ADD, so we need what I call snackable information. You know
snackable.
What I mean?
Snackable. I love that.
That's a good snack. Let me take that with me.
Right.
You know
I love
what I mean?
That. Well, speaking of which, give me your definition of cool, and I'm going to let you go in just about two more minutes.
Wow, that's a tough one. You told me, too, ahead of time. my definition of cool is being able to be yourself no matter where you're at, no matter what the situation is. Never just losing your swagger that's natural.
Yeah.
Again, back to the authenticity. That's my definition of cool.
Love it. How can people find you? Tell everybody when you're on, all that good stuff, your social media. Tell everybody that.
Okay, so you can follow me at Carrie Champion, C-A-R-I Champion, and that's on Twitter and Instagram. I also have a show on ESPN, Monday through Friday, noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. if you're on the Pacific side. And you can also download my podcast, which is on the ESPN app or iTunes, and that's called Be Honest.
Love it. Love it. Well, thank you so much, Carrie, for taking some time out of your day to talk to the good collective that we have here. And I'm so very happy for you. Continued success. Continue showing that black girl magic every single day unapologetically.
Unapologetically. It's about this magic. And you're
yes.
on my podcast next. Thank you,
yes,
Mama.
I would love that.
Thank you, boo.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. It's Carrie Champion, SportsCenter anchor, coast to coast at ESPN. And I am Cool People.